At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey, 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 happy Wednesday. Thanks for rolling with us. I'm Vanessa Richardson. I'm at Sports Vanessa on social media. He's Paul Gallant. He is at Gallant Says. No surprise at all, Paul. We are sitting here and it is no opening day in sight. The first couple of series have been canceled because they could not get a deal done in Jupiter.
Both series at home at Minute Maid Park, the first one against the Philadelphia Phillies. I suppose it's good that we won't have Philadelphians coming to Houston. They're a dirty, dirty people and like to eat horse poo from time to time in the midst of celebrations. I can say this. Half my family's from Philadelphia. It's okay. I can, you know, generalize.
Yeah, you get the pass.
I'm pissed that the Yankees aren't coming to town. I think that is a complete misfire by baseball. You're going to lose a marquee series between two teams that don't like each other because of this arbitrary deadline that you set for yourself, and these games are never going to be replayed. Like, why not just push the start of the season back a week as opposed to canceling the games? Is that so difficult to do at this point? Is it too late? At this point, I want them to play the Astros, the Yankees, as much as they can this year. I want them to remind the Yankees of where they actually stand in baseball, that it wasn't cheating that kept them out of the World Series. It was their own choking bats. So that bums me out. I mean, that would have been a very exciting series to open up. And that's just one series, Vanessa. That's just one week of games. I don't feel like this is going to get done anytime soon if after 36 hours where they finally spoke with one another, both sides at the end said, yeah, no, and then both walked away.
It's actually impressive how bad of a job and how mad Rob Manfred has managed to make people. He's definitely the most hated commissioner in sports. For a long time, Paul, the NHL's commissioner was like really, really hated. And I don't know if he's still hated as much. It's Gary Bettman.
Right. I think he's definitely hated. But
he's still hated, but it's not on Rob Manfred's level.
Hockey's kind of vanished. That's largely true. Due to Gary Bettman losing the ESPN deal for a long period of time where they just weren't talked about on SportsCenter for a very long period of time. And I think when that started to happen, I think people sort of forgot about hockey and about Gary Bettman. But Manfred's up there, and that's saying something because I can't think of one person who likes Roger Goodell. I can't.
That's a great point, but here's the thing about Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell will at least be accountable for things that have happened.
I guess. But,
he will. And Roger Goodell will take blame. Roger Goodell will not go in front of reporters and smile and laugh when something has gone wrong. I know that this is not a high bar. I'm not saying Roger Goodell is a good commissioner. I'm simply saying that he is not as tone deaf as Rob Manfred.
I feel like he kind of is, but at the very least, his league is not failing, where baseball has been failing for a couple of years. Manfred is a huge problem here because he promised things that he did not deliver on. He said that he was able to avoid labor stoppage 4 times. Okay, well, now you're 4 for 5, dude. And I think that the way that he portrayed himself as someone who is so good at this, only for this to take place, makes him seem very hollow in terms of what he actually brings to the table. But they both serve the same role. They're both guys who are there to be pincushions, meat shields, etc. for the owners. Somehow, though, Manfred has just found a way to piss off, I think, the players in a way where they're so unified and dug in together that how are you going to be able to move this monolith in a direction that the owners want. You know, I think one of the best ways to get what you want, if you're arguing for something that another group doesn't want to give you, is to make that group argue with one another. And Manfred's been very good at rallying them all together. Because, you know, if you're a Vanessa $300 million player versus one of the league minimum players, you're going to have very different priorities right now. The guy at the bottom is definitely going to want to play as soon as possible. The guy at the top, maybe not so much because he feels like he has to take a stand. But now the guy at the bottom, he just sees Manfred and he's like, okay, no. Why would I want to do what this guy is asking me to do?
Lance McCullers Jr., of course, the player rep for the Astros, said, and this is according to Chandler Rome, who's been with the Chronicle, down there covering it with the Chronicle, quote, I don't know what I'd say to fans. I'm upset as a player, as a fan of the game. I don't believe this had to happen. I don't believe it had to come to this point. The other side we're negotiating with hasn't shown a true ability to want to get something done. Lance McCullers Jr. also deactivated his Twitter account. Doesn't mean it's deleted permanently, but deactivated it. Maybe because he got tired of the mess. I don't know. But he's been very vocal about this. He and other players don't feel like the owners have given anything at all.
He has been vocal, but what bothers me with the players is I'm sorry I don't have much empathy for them given that they're not asking for improvements to the game. You know, they're just asking for more money, and the owners are saying no. If they were maybe offering improvements to the game and being less resistant to some of the improvements that have been proposed, like actually adhering to a pitch clock and getting some of these games to move by a little bit more quickly as opposed to having like a gradual implementation of it, they're being a little bit stubborn themselves here, and they're acting like it's just the owners. No, it's not. It's both parties. Both parties failed. Both parties are losers long-term for this because both parties have alienated me, you, and the average baseball watcher, and I would even say the diehard baseball watcher too.
Rob Manfred speaking on it a little bit yesterday, and we have audio from that. Here is the much-loved commissioner of baseball.
Hey, Rob, understanding that deadlines create urgency, you locked out the players to jumpstart the negotiations. It feels like real bargaining went on just in the last 24 to 36 hours. I'm sure people are wondering why not over the last three months or even longer to get to a point where you're not necessarily canceling games because there's some momentum here.
Yeah, I think the best answer to that question is the last 10 days. We've been here ready to bargain, full committees, owners, players for 10 days, and it got going 2 days before the deadline. That's the best explanation I can give you.
Blah, 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 blah. Blah, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Yes, you're right. That's the best explanation I could give you. That's what he said.
And he said 10 days. We've been ready to bargain. This has been something that we've known was going to happen for a very long time. So back in October, when I was covering the World Series, I told you earlier, 75, and this is a couple of months ago, 75% of the questions that the media asked Rob Manfred had nothing to do with the Astros being in the World Series after the sign-stealing scandal, had very little to do with the Yankees unsealing the letter, and very, very little to do with the actual World Series. It was all about this.
They've known for such a long time. There is legitimately no excuse on the part of either party. And I'm not here to make Rob Manfred into a sympathetic figure. He was smiling yesterday. Perhaps he was in a bit of a daze from all the walking back and forth that he was doing between sides where the players were and the owners were. But I do not know what Manfred could have really done here, or any person that the owners would employ, because there are some teams that are stuck in the idea of, hey, like, we don't have to spend money. We very much enjoy being a part of this league, making profits every single year while not having an incentive to spend more money on players. And I wonder what can be done at this point now that they're both walking away. How do you bring both parties back to the table? Because I'm guessing, Vanessa, that whatever happened in 36 hours got acrimonious. If they felt like they could extend the deadline one day, there was progress being made. But if they feel like they can't even continue after this one day, something happened. And when do they come back to the table, you know? Because that's what's weird to me. It feels like they should just both be continuing to work. This is sort of like seeing when Congress like decides to like close. It's like wait a second. What? That's your job.
Right.
This is your job right now, is to stay and be tired.
Open.
Right. Yeah. To be open and to sit down and talk with each other until you get a deal done. Like that is legitimately your only job right now. So what? Why are you all of a sudden taking a break? It's stupid.
The way I will defend Rob Manfred is that I also sometimes smile in awkward situations.
What's the worst time you've smiled?
It's not a great... Oh, I mean, when awkward things are said or comments are made and, you know, it's like... So I do get that from his perspective, but certainly not helping himself. We asked people on Twitter, you asked people on Twitter and our listeners...
Right.
What's something that always lets you down?
Internet and cable providers, wrote Shannon Brown, 100%. Because they never give you the best possible deal. They are outrageously overpriced these days. I cut the cord, even though it's difficult to sometimes get sports with Fubo TV, which somehow does not have TNT. Which I found out, much to my chagrin, one night trying to watch a basketball game. I was like, wait a second, I don't have TNT. But cable and internet providers, you're paying a ton of money, and they have awful customer service. They don't give you deals for staying with them long term. 100%. They're definitely up there. I movers are my number one, and you said fast food.
Yeah, they orders. Always get my order wrong. Always. Always. No cheese, guys. No cheese.
You're asking for something really simple, too.
Yeah, right. I know.
So it's just bread and meat? That's it?
It do be like that sometimes. Well, yeah, I like mustard, ketchup, pickle. Okay. I just don't want any cheese or onions.
That's not that hard to ask. Not a lot of people like onions, and you would think that some people would be sympathetic to the cheese side of it.
Yeah. All right. Hey, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Nick Caserio speaks at the Combine. You're going to hear some of that, as well as the off-to-the-side conversation he had with local media. And then we do have some fresh audio from a conversation he had with Mike Florio, where he talks a little bit about the Deshaun situation more in depth. That's next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, and we are rolling along on a Wednesday. Thanks for hanging out with us. I'm Vanessa Richardson. He is Paul Gallant. I'm in Indianapolis for the NFL Combine, and he is holding it down in studio. Our producer, Tyler, is awesome, so we appreciate you staying with us today. All right, Nick Caserio, Texans general manager, talking yesterday at the NFL Combine. You never get a lot from him. He's very guarded, but I enjoyed his media sessions. We did hear him talk about kind of a myriad of different things, and he also talked to Mike Florio. So I feel like I've heard more from Nick Caserio in the last day. And I do feel like I have a little bit of a better understanding of what the Texans are doing than I have before. A little.
Where do you feel emphasis like you've gained the most understanding?
The headset question, for sure.
Right.
The game management, headset gate. I think that he's talked before about being open to draft picks, but he really sounds like he's open to it. And so I think that the Deshaun Watson situation, look, he's never going to be able to say a lot about that because it's a legal matter. But yeah, it's been interesting to hear him on a variety of different mediums, whether he's on NFL Network or, you know, with Mike Florio, et cetera, talk about the process and what he sees, because we're still getting to know Nick Caserio as a general manager, right? I mean, we're still kind of getting a feel for what he's going to be like.
Yeah. There's not a lot of decisions to seriously evaluate him off of to this point. And it's also really hard to even gauge in New England what decisions he was making, what decisions he wasn't making. I feel like we're just going to hear a lot of words. We have heard a lot of words already. Nothing against Nick Caserio. I sort of expect all general managers and all coaches right. to either say nothing or just lie, because that's in their best interest. What benefit do they get by saying, we're going to trade Deshaun Watson by X date and having to feel a need to stick to said date? It's going to happen eventually. I guess the next step is across the combine, and I'm sure questions have been asked about this. Where does interest in Deshaun Watson actually emanate from? What general managers were willing to tackle that question. I doubt many would be. Denver, though, does seem, Vanessa, yesterday, like a team that would potentially be open to a deal. The general manager of the Broncos, we don't care if it's free agency. We don't care if it's the draft. We don't care if it's a trade. We're going to exhaust all options to get the best guy for the Broncos. Well, the best guy, if it's not Aaron Rodgers, it's Deshaun Watson.
Totally. In your mind, do you think that Deshaun Watson would waive his no-trade clause for Denver? Do you think that's a destination that he would be interested in?
I think he should. Now,
yeah.
I guess it's going to depend on how he feels about Nathaniel Hackett as their new head coach there. But historically, Denver's been a pretty stable organization. That could change, and I think the only thing that you would have to keep in mind if you are Deshaun Watson, maybe something you're a little bit more reticent of, just given the fact that you saw a transition of power from Bob McNair to Cal McNair here in Houston. Mm-hmm. Maybe you wonder, okay, well, what's next after the Broncos are bought by whatever new owner comes into play? Maybe you're not 100% sure how you feel about whatever guy is going to come in there, and that things could turn into an absolute disaster overnight. But I look at the Broncos. I see a team that's been successful. I see a team that has weapons for him to work with. You know, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton. I think that this is a win-win kind of situation, and I am just hoping that the Broncos are that serious about it because I want to get as much as I possibly can.
Meanwhile, Nick Caserio opening up a little bit about what they will do with those draft picks or what they could do with those draft picks. Here's what he said to the media.
Philosophically, in terms of team building, like, I mean, the people that have followed us, we're pretty open-minded. We're pretty flexible, like whatever means necessary. So whether it's trade, whether it's move back in the draft, whether it's move up, whether it's trade with another team in a league, whether it's whatever it is, we're going to explore all avenues.
So that is a lot of nothing.
Yep.
That is one of the answers where that is kind of a lot of nothing. But he said in the past that he would be open to trading that third overall pick. And he sounds like it is something that he's genuinely open to.
Have you seen the movie Argo? It's
no, I'm like movies like you are with music.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Well, in the movie Argo, there's a bunch of Americans who are hiding at a Canadian embassy, and they're waiting to get taken out of Iran. This is during the early 1980s when Iran was going through its revolution. And anyway, there are people from Iranian intelligence who are essentially putting little kids down on the ground, and they're like combing through all these like shredded papers that they found at the American embassy to try and find the seven people that were missing, that were hiding in the Canadian embassy.
Okay, I follow.
That's where I feel like I'm at right now. Like with Caserio, it's just like I'm one of these like small, like non-paid children that's like going through little strips of paper. I'm taping them all together and I'm trying to figure something out with them. And this is not a complaint. Like I understand it. I would like a little more clarity. You're not going to get it with Deshaun Watson because of the things that you mentioned before, Vanessa, the legal issues. You're probably not going to get it with the draft either because I don't know that Caserio really wants to be drafting third overall in a draft where there's no clear, like, whoa, this guy's the absolute number one can't miss prospect. And very often when there is a guy like that, that guy doesn't turn out to be the guy that you expected him to be. I do want to get a vibe, I guess, now of how foundationally you build a team when you don't have a quarterback. And they were endorsing, for what it's worth, Davis Mills over the last couple of days in Indianapolis. And, okay, fine. But if you think it's Davis Mills and you're not going to draft a quarterback early on, well, where are you going to go? Is it offensive line? Is it defensive edge? What do you want?
To me, their biggest need is running back. But then again, it's kind of like, what don't they need in the grand scheme of things?
And they're not going to draft running back third overall.
Right. No, absolutely. So Nick Caserio was on with Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. And this is what he said about the situation regarding number four.
There were dialogues and discussions about, I would say, Deshaun and other players as well. In the end, it didn't come to fruition. So then we kind of transitioned, and, you know, once the trade deadline was over, kind of transitioned to the next phase, just kind of focus on the rest of the season, understanding that once the season was over, then once we kind of flipped the page in the calendar 2022, then, you know, kind of have maybe some open discussions and dialogue with respective teams throughout the league. So I would say that's ongoing. And kind of going back to your first question, there's not necessarily necessarily a timetable in terms of a resolution, but at some point I would expect there to be a resolution. You know, just don't have a definitive answer at this point.
So he says, I would say that's ongoing as far as conversations with other teams, that it's ongoing. That might not seem like a big deal, but what did we just hear a couple of weeks ago where Deshaun Watson's team said, his camp, they said that they haven't been talking to anybody. Remember Josina Anderson's
sure.
report
right.
that they haven't been talking to anybody.
Wink, wink.
This is Nick Caserio saying, I would say those discussions are ongoing. So that doesn't seem like a big deal, but as somebody with a reporting background, when I put together all of the dots of everybody that's been saying that there is no conversations, all we care about is getting the legal matters resolved. It's not true.
No.
Nick Caserio just said that it's not true.
Right.
So they're having discussions. They're open-minded, I'm sure, to where they can get the most draft capital. You also have to consider Deshaun Watson's no trade clause. But I thought that part of that was interesting.
The discussion that was made public is that the Miami Dolphins were interested in Deshaun Watson. And now that Brian Flores is gone, I think Stephen Ross is likely still interested in a way in Deshaun Watson. He's just mad that there was never any civil settlement, which he thought would happen because then they would pull the trigger on the deal. If talks are continuing, then that makes me feel like the Miami Dolphins are still in play as far as a potential destination for Deshaun Watson. And what they would be willing to give up, I'm not 100% sure. Would it be a deal that would involve Tua Tagovailoa? Would it be just draft picks? Whatever the case, Miami is definitely still in the picture if you're saying that conversations are continuing, because conversations, of course, were openly happening to the chagrin of Tua Tagovailoa last year.
And think about the Miami Dolphins staff. Their new head coach is Mike McDaniel. Their new offensive coordinator is Frank Smith. They have a young group of coaches in their 30s that I'm sure, if you're a young coach and you have the opportunity to coach Deshaun Watson, you're going to take it. You're going to want that. And now, all of this, by the way, is assumed that the legal issues are no longer in play and that the cases are settled. I don't know if anybody wants to touch it with a 10-foot pole so long as the HPD is still investigating 12 of these cases. So we expect more conversations today, by the way. Lovie Smith will speak at 2:30 Indy time, which is 1:30 Houston time. I will be there and will, I'm sure, be asking Lovie. I love Lovie, though. God, he's so fun. Mm-hmm. All right. Coming up in the 11:30 hour, a legend's dad has something to say about Kyler Murray, and we would like to know if you agree or disagree. That's coming up.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Fun sports. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Thank you for hanging out with us on a Wednesday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. He is Paul Gallant, and we are appropriately named Vanessa and Gallant. For the last couple of years, Larry Fitzgerald has definitely been up and down. Obviously, at whatever point he officially retires, he will have had an excellent career. Larry Fitzgerald's dad, Larry Fitzgerald Sr., shout out to him as he went to college in my hometown at Indiana State. A long, long, long time beat writer who covered the Minnesota Vikings primarily and has always been pretty open to giving his opinions on Twitter. His latest opinion came regarding Kyler Murray. Now, as you'll recall, Larry Fitzgerald, his son, Junior, is in Arizona. He's a free agent, but he last was with Arizona. Mm-hmm. And Fitzgerald Sr. tweeted some criticism about Kyler Murray and how he's handled all these situations. So he wrote this. He's spoiled. Brings his Oklahoma offense to the NFL team. Has to catch up great talent. He's never been humbled. Keep working. And this was kind of hard to read because there wasn't a lot of grammatical. It wasn't very succinct.
It's like notes.
No commas and no P. Yeah, it's like notes.
Bullet points.
But Larry Fitzgerald Sr. criticizing Kyler Murray and saying that he's spoiled and he's never been humbled. I actually agree with this. And you have to think Larry Fitzgerald Sr. is going to hear things from Larry Fitz, from his son.
Yep.
But oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree that Kyler Murray has acted kind of in an entitled manner, and that he needs to keep working. Look, we're in an age of player empowerment. We've talked about this. So the whole letter from his agent scrubbing the social media posts and all of that and not really being there for his team, is that uncommon? I don't know, but I'm interested in your thoughts on this Twitter tweet.
Fitzgerald likely talks to his son. Larry Fitzgerald was part of the Cardinals for 2 decades, unrestricted free agent last year, but definitely still connected, I'd imagine, given that he seems beloved by that organization. So, yet another person connected has some criticisms for Kyler Murray, of which we have heard many. Have you heard one person that might be in the know get up on a pedestal and sing the praises of Kyler Murray? Sing about how, actually, Cliff Kingsbury's doing this. Actually, Michael Bidwill, Steve Keim, the owner and the general manager of the Cardinals, are doing that. I haven't heard from anybody. No one has stood up for Kyler Murray, and that speaks volumes. In fact, I would just take a look at some of the players that he plays with. Where's DeAndre Hopkins? Have you heard from him? DeAndre Hopkins isn't exactly one that's very vocal, but when he feels a certain way about something, he definitely does not have a poker face.
And he'll stand up for people.
Yeah. And you would think that he would stand up in this situation. Nope. I haven't heard anybody. I haven't heard a peep.
I haven't heard the person that we know would stand up for him and that would be vocal about it would be J.J. Watt. And J.J. Watt has not said a peep. So to me, Larry Fitzgerald Sr., and again, like, his son is such a pillar of not only that, like, organization, but that city. Like, his son is so well connected to all things Arizona. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be interesting to see how this situation develops with Kyler Murray. But Larry Fitzgerald Sr. calling him spoiled and entitled. The GM of the Cardinals actually, in a way, kind of stood up for Eric Burkhart, which is Kyler's agent that released the, like, Zodiac killer type note. He actually stood up for him and said, I will say this. I think Eric Burkhart is doing his job as an agent. So he kind of took the high road on that and made it sound like he wasn't too upset about that long letter. I don't know if I buy it, but that's the poker face that the Cardinals GM gave.
And he has to, because he wants to make sure this guy's okay. You know what's crazy? Given all the questions that we have about the future of the Cardinals, is that today Cliff Kingsbury and Steve Keim got contract extensions?
Yeah.
I mean, if that's not a shot across the bow in a way at Kyler Murray by the organization, I don't know what is. Because who has faith in Cliff Kingsbury? And I think a lot of people probably have questions about the future of the Cardinals given the way that they have closed out the last 2 years. Obviously, this season at one point, they looked like the best team in the NFL. They looked awful in the second half of the season. You can point at Kyler Murray. I would more so point at Cliff Kingsbury than at Kyler Murray and whether or not he's actually capable of surviving a 17-game onslaught. It's something that I don't think, Vanessa, we will see result in Kyler Murray playing for another team. I do think, though, that it's going to result in a completely different dynamic in the locker room between Kyler Murray and the rest of the team. And if Kyler Murray is actually a big boy, he has to, I think, make amends when he's back in there. If all of these things are coming out about you, some of them have to be true. Are you going to choose to say, no, this is all bogus? Or are you actually going to look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, they have a point about this, this, and this. Maybe not everything, but there have got to be some things that Kyler Murray looks at and says, oh my gosh, wow, I did not expect this kind of reaction. I have to fix this in myself. And if he doesn't do that, then, I mean, good luck ever winning.
Kyler Murray, of course, wanting more money, wanting it now. I like what Mike Rob said on Good Morning Football and talking about the fact that Patrick Mahomes didn't get more money at this point in his career. Josh Allen didn't get this much money or more money at this point when they were at the same time mark as Kyler Murray. We are going to hear from Lovie Smith today. He speaks at 2:30 Indianapolis time, 1:30 Houston time. What do you, Pauly G, want to hear Lovie address?
I think as far as the offense goes, Pep Hamilton is the brainchild behind it. Lovie Smith's a defensive-minded coach. I want to know just how much, I guess, oversight Lovie Smith might have on what they do offensively. Because it's just a partnership, and he's the guy that's at the absolute top of the food chain. But what is Lovie Smith looking for out of the guy that is going to be complimenting the thing that he is an expert in, which is defense? I'm curious about that. Is this going to be a team that is built on defense first and then like running the ball to complement it, or you know, just not screwing it up to complement it? Or is this going to be an offense that actually tries to do some different things, maybe tries to be ahead of the curve, or tries to do what we have seen everyone from the McVay, Shanahan, everybody else coaching tree do over the last couple of years, which is, I think, really create an offense that everybody's trying to emulate right now? Are they going to try to emulate something else, or are they going to be old school? And, you know, hearing the Texans tight end coach a couple of weeks ago, whose name is escaping me at this point in time, talk about the way that the offense was actually like looking at itself in the mirror. I guess what Pep Hamilton wants is a team that's going to run the ball a lot and going to be heavy involved with tight ends. Okay, that's good, but you got to have a good running back. You got to have a good running game that's going to maul people. So I guess, yeah, what's the offensive identity, which I don't think you need to be married to, of the Texans going to be this coming season? Because I doubt it's going to be built around Davis Mills, you know? Like, Mills is the guy going into his second year. You still don't want to put too much on him. If I learned anything from watching that Tom Brady documentary that has been up on ESPN, it's that Brady was pretty open about the fact that there were a lot of things that he was still learning how to do the first couple of years of his career, even though he's like the greatest quarterback of all time. And there's no denying that. I mean, you know, there was a team that was built on defense at first. So for Davis Mills, yeah, you're not all of a sudden going to turn the keys over to him this coming season. So what kind of an offense can they build that's going to be complementary of what will hopefully be a better defense than it was last year?
I think for me, it's partially expectations. Now, this is tough because he can't be super honest about this, but I wish that I could inject Lovie Smith with truth serum and just say, look, based on what you have now, based on all of your experience in the NFL and the college level, what is the realistic number of games that you think this team can win? Mm. I mean, what is a realistic expectation? And every guy's going to say the same thing. Well, we want to win, but it's a process.
Right.
And I would love to know where Lovie genuinely thinks the Texans are in the process of rebuilding.
Yeah. And it's going to be hard to get the true answer from him because we just heard a couple of weeks ago, and he's been saying this a lot. Well, if the Bengals can do it, why not us?
Right.
So I guess every team's goal is a Super Bowl, but what's your real goal? What are they trying to accomplish this coming season? Not be embarrassing, you know? Like that, obviously, you want to be better than that too.
We will hear from Lovie Smith shortly. Looking forward to that, and certainly we'll appreciate his time. And hopefully, he gives us some honest answers about what we can expect in Houston. All right, coming up, we're going to put a bow on the show, take you through some quick hits on Vanessa and Galan as we wrap up this Wednesday.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're locked in with Vanessa and Galant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Galant.
So Lakers owner Jeannie Buss recently had some of her old tweets revealed. Don't worry. It's nothing racist. It's nothing really terrible.
Well, then who cares?
It is just simply very thirsty. So Twitter, of course, was crazy back in 2009. On Tuesday night after the Lakers lost to the Mavs, some of her old tweets showed her openly thirsting for NBA players began spreading on Twitter. Some of them. Back from 2009, met Johnny Flynn of Minnesota Timberwolves before game. If I had number one pick, I would draft him. He is a cutie.
I have
just
Johnny
met
Flynn
Kevin
stories.
Love. From UCLA Timberwolves, he may replace Tony Parker as the hottest guy in the NBA. Lamar, take your pants off, we scream as he checks into the game.
Me too.
Kevin Durant has those extra long arms like Phil Jackson. They come in handy. Again, it's worth noting that she made these tweets before she became owner of the Lakers. But alas, Jeannie Buss, a victim of the thirst trap Twitter.
Well, people knew, you know, who she was when she was tweeting those things. Look, Mama got to eat too, right? I mean,
she does.
What's it is funny that we have gotten to a point now where objectifying anybody is bad, but usually because it's done very creepily. I don't know. I guess I just don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with it either. I don't have a problem with it either. And I'm glad people aren't trashing it, trashing her for it. But there's a little bit of irony in the fact that she then went on to own an NBA team when she was specifically thirsting over NBA players.
Yeah, look, I mean, they're tall. And all of you ladies are obsessed with tall people, you know? So, of course, it makes sense. Basketball players
are
tall.
We love a tall man.
Yeah.
We love a tall man. We don't love when men who are 5'11 put 6 foot on their dating apps.
Well, but you already are assuming that I'm lying about my height anyway, so I may as well. May as well, and then I'll wear cowboy boots to the first date, and then you won't even know.
Meanwhile, very ashamed of my city after a certain bus trip. I'll let you read this one, Paul,
because
I don't know if I have the heart to do it.
So IUPUI is a basketball team in Indiana. They had only 5 players for their conference tournament loss to Oakland. They're the first Division I basketball team to play just 5 players in a game since 2000. Somehow nobody fouled out. The problem was they have a bunch of guys that were going to get surgery. And there's one player who was playing that needed surgery, so they really should have only had 4 players, I guess. But to make matters worse, the head coach...
But wait, there's more!
I know. Good. Poor IUPUI. PU, am I right? Matt Crenshaw is the head coach of IUPUI. So the team was taking a bus to, it was supposed to be to Rochester, Minnesota for the conference tournament. Matthew Crenshaw, the head coach, falls asleep. He wakes up and the bus is in Columbus, Ohio. The bus company had the wrong itinerary and they went the wrong way. Now, in years past, I would say, oh, well, the bus company screwed this up. And I don't need the head coach to be awake for every single moment of a 4-hour bus ride. However, there are also at least 5 other players on this team. If you're on a bus, you're bored. You're not looking at your phone the whole time. You got to be looking out the window from time to time. How do you not notice that you are not going to Minnesota? That you are going instead to Ohio?
It's actually Rochester. It's actually Rochester, Michigan.
Michigan, my bad.
Which I think is worse, because if you're in Indy, you're familiar probably more so with Michigan than other, you know, different than other states. So the fact that nobody looked out the window and said, huh, instead of passing South Bend and through places like that, we're going towards Ohio. And we're now seeing signs that say, welcome to Ohio.
Yeah. You would think you would see that at some point. So now I'm going to ask you that the elephant in the room, because as someone who has never been to the Midwest and never intends on going to the Midwest outside of Chicago about a week from now, I need to ask you the following.
Okay.
Does all of the Midwest look exactly the same? Because maybe that's the one defense that IUPUI has here, because they're just driving through corn stalks.
It's a lot of corn. It's a lot of industrial towns. It's a lot of, I mean, in short, when you're driving to, but again, the thing that trips me up is that there are different cities that you would think they would recognize as not being in the right direction. But to most people, would driving through Indiana and Ohio seem the same? Yeah, that's fine. I can admit that.
A texter just asked about this. Why in the flying bleep, excuse my French, do they need a bus for 5 people, 1 coach and a driver? People can fit in an SUV. And then he goes off and talking about Indiana's taxes and financial situation. But I think that's actually a very good point. I mean, shoot, you could have probably done this in an Uber XL. I know basketball players are a little tall, so it might have been a little cramped or something like that. Maybe that's why you're doing the charter bus. So it's not, you know, you're not getting out of the car after a 4-hour ride and feeling all like gross. Because most people do when you're in a road trip and you're in a tight little car as opposed to on a charter bus. But it's a good point. You have 5 players. You need a bus?
That's actually a really, really good point.
You're going a short school bus.
And probably could have avoided this entire situation. So shout out to the IUPUI basketball team. Hope they enjoyed their time in Columbus. All right. It's what you are calling the dumbest sports controversy in history.
Yes, this takes the cake. Okay. So look, the WNBA, it's a league that doesn't make a whole lot of money. It basically is entirely dependent on their parents, the partner teams in the NBA, for the majority of the money that goes into the league.
Yeah.
But, look, I'm not one to dump on the WNBA here, okay? I don't watch it personally, but some people do.
Yeah.
Anyway, the WNBA fined the New York Liberty a league record $500,000. And it has to do sort of with what we were talking about with IUPUI. They took chartered flights last season. That is against CBA rules. So they thought about terminating the franchise over this. They thought about getting rid of the historic New York Liberty entirely because they were chartering flights, because they had the money to do it. And the reason that they were mad about this, the WNBA Board of Governors thought it was bad, even though the Liberty had been proposing chartered flights for everyone in the league for 3 years that they would actually pay for. Owners worried that players would get used to it, so there'd be no going back. So I guess they were like, all right, yep, you got to fly commercial.
So chartered flights are private flights, essentially. Okay, so I didn't realize that WNBA flew commercial.
You know, those are tall ladies. And
yeah.
I think most people would tell you that if you are tall and you are on a plane, it is a miserable experience. I can't really speak to that, but there are certain airlines, Spirit, where you will sit on it and you're not going to have a whole lot of room regardless. If you are a basketball player, this is probably a miserable experience. If a team is willing to pay for the entirety of the expenses, why not? Why not? Why wouldn't the other teams take you up on that? I mean, you're not having to pay for it. And they considered getting rid of the franchise and having them lose every draft pick that they'd ever have and suspending the owners because they bought chartered flights for a whole season. This is the dumbest controversy I've ever seen. Like, Deflategate, Spygate, the Astros sign stealing stuff. This is the worst. I've never seen something where it's like, wow, they almost got disbanded from a league because they had charter flights.
Look at Paul Gallant, veteran WNBA fan on Vanessa and Gallant.
Go Comets!
All right, we will hear from Lovie Smith in just a few hours. I will be live tweeting. I will be there.
At Sports Vanessa.
We will be at Sports Vanessa, yes. We'll be talking about it a lot tomorrow. In the meantime, thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. The Killer Bees are next.
So long, farewell.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what'd you say?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.